This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9, joining Gina, Alan and Beck.
I very much enjoyed that song, Gina. That Thank you lovely. For sharing that with
Thank
me.
Thank you, Alan, for suggesting.
I was swanning around in the studio.
Look at Alan coming lovely. In, taking our songs.
I'm a bit breathless now.
Yes.
But it's a really important anniversary coming up, isn't it?
Oh, I know.
It is.
You know, when we sit back and reflect what was happening 12 months ago.
I kind of go into shutdown, but...
You do?
We can talk about that.
We can talk about that.
I'll have to.
But luckily we've got someone here to talk about such things with us. Gina, you mentioned earlier we're talking about the new anthology that's coming out, Going Postal. And with us we have the curator of that anthology, Son Vivian. Now, Son, bear with me as I read all the wonderful things that you do. Buckle up.
Son I'll hold myself
is a postdoctoral researcher at creative agency at RMIT and the Digital Ethnography Research Centre.
Well done, babe.
Thank you. Son's involved in digital self-representation, online activism, queer identity and rhetorical strategies and feminist practices for speaking and listening across difference. Son is also involved in community development and arts as an activist, workshop facilitator and media maker. Son is the author of Digital Identity and Everyday Activism, Sharing Private Stories. Son, welcome to Family Matters and tell us what you're doing in your spare time.
I think it's right long by.
Isn't it? Shouldn't it be Dr. Son if you're a
That's
postdoctoral?
Right, actually, I'm Dr. Son.
Oh, yes. Good on you.
Or Dr. Viv if you're
Dr.
into the nickname
Dr.
of
Viv.
Mm.
It kind of
like
reminds
this.
Me of a character of Doctor Who, but we're nearly close. You know, Dr. Song, but Dr. Son, you know,
you could just get on just right.
We are on the film show together, Beck, so
yeah,
film
so there's a bit of,
well,
you know,
we could easily go down a wormhole there.
Okay.
But we're not going to.
Let's not derail the conversation, which I'm good at.
We're going to stay on track because we are talking about going postal. Now, Son, this might be the easiest or hardest question to answer, but what is this book?
This book is the product of a year's collecting of stories that were all existing during the year prior to the postal vote. So we're coming up to the anniversary, as you said. So on social media, in newspapers, face-to-face, there was much writing happening around the year leading up to the big vote, and Quinn and I felt the need to capture it in some archival form, I guess partly to get all of those feels down on paper, because for a lot of us it was an intense emotional experience, mm-hmm. and not always kind of well reflected in mainstream mm-hmm. media.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come up with the idea at the time? Was it while the whole process was happening you thought we need to do something about this, or was it in the aftermath that you reflected back?
It was really in the aftermath. Quinn initiated the capturing of the series, and if Quinn were here
Quinn's
tonight...
Because Quinn's got blogs, part of a blog that
exactly,
is ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Quinn published 7 pieces that are kind of the spine of the of the book, mm-hmm. That were for Lifted Brow and in the sort of 3 months leading up. And I think, well, it was Jamie, his boyfriend, who said, hey, this needs capturing, and mm-hmm. he always acknowledges that too.
Mm.
So it was really an effort to get the diversity of those stories and to capture the ones that were falling through the cracks, that were not as easy to hear, that expressed a lot of the disquiet and the hurt, and, you know, ones that were from perspectives that we weren't hearing in the in the mainstream, as I said. So what's it like to be a disabled person and dealing with this, and an Indigenous person or a trans person or a young person or, you know, all of the other people?
Because I know what was upsetting me, and I kind of understand why it had to happen that way, but the mainstream media, your kind of free-to-air networks, only had certain swimming, beautiful celebrities, you know, actors and whatever.
That's right.
Selling the message of marriage equality, and it was really excluding a very large LGBTQI audience. I mean, the reason a lot of us were kind of upset during, I know for myself, was that a lot of our trans and gender diverse community, a lot of our rainbow families were being thrown under our bus, a lot of our elders were just being ignored, and, you know, people of colour as well. There were so many stories that just weren't even... It was like they weren't given permission to be out there talking about why this was important to us, because we all know this had nothing to do with marriage. And this is what I'm liking as I'm flipping through the pages of this anthology. Was that a conscious choice to be looking for those stories?
Yeah. That was very explicit. And actually, Quinn and I were just talking about this today, that while, you know, we have the best intentions to be as representative as we were able, the call out was through Quinn's Facebook network initially. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a bubble, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We know these
We
things.
Know our bubbles. Yeah.
But having said that, Quinn's a very well-networked bubble.
Absolutely.
So we got lots of responses in that initial kind of call out, and then we went looking for a lot of the other voices. And we know that it's not going to include everybody, and we're very keen to actually continue this process now and make an online space where people can continue to share their stories. You know, those stories change over time as well, so there's opportunity to sort of check back in and update. So that'll be something that, we continue after the formal launch.
Now, we're just going to quickly pay one bill and we're back on this interview talking everything going postal.
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Family Matters with Beck, Gina and Alan from Outtakes. That's his formal name and I will insist on using it. And joining us tonight is Son Vivian, one of the curators of the anthology Going Postal, a new book that's coming out, I guess, talking about the journey of the postal survey and the impacts on people. Just before we went to the break, you were talking about the diversity of people that were included and the stories you were telling. Was it generally easy for people to tell this story? Did they want to, or did you, or was there people that said, you know what, I've had enough, I can't do it anymore, or a combination?
So we chose an easy path here. These were all already published in some form or other. So all of the pain and angst that had gone into the sharing of them in the first place was secondary by the time it got to being in these covers. But having said that, it did change the circulation of some of those stories. So some of them were blog posts, some of them were initiated on social media, so the expectation was they'd be transient. So to be part of a kind of formal collection is a different thing. And I think even for us editing the collection and putting them together in some kind of order, it's a very tangible, affective, emotional experience. There's stories of joy in there too, right?
It's not
all pain and you know, tears. And we were very keen to include the pro, you know, we really want to get married stuff, as well as the, you know, not now, not until kids are out of Nauru.
Because I was going to ask that. I was going to ask, is the book a celebration or is it a reflection or is it a... I mean, and great for radio, but...
The song is currently flicking the cover.
Because I guess the cover answers my question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Did you want to try and describe the cover?
Well, Alan, would you like to describe the cover, seeing as you're quite enamoured of
it? Well, the cover is amazing, actually. It's almost like a reversible jacket, in a sense.
That's a great
You know, you've got colours on one side and colours on the back, but on one cover it's very rainbow coloured, very bright, and it's all very light and airy. You've got two hands holding together in love and fellowship.
With a wedding ring,
with a wedding ring. I miss the wedding ring. But then you flick it over and it's all black, and we have a very powerful, you know, black power symbol here, which is probably telling the world to go get stuffed, in a sense. So it's representing that sort of light and dark aspect of the survey.
Yeah.
But I guess the title itself, Going Postal, for me, I think that kind of represents, when someone tells me going postal, that's really telling me that someone's coming into the workplace and has got a semi-automatic weapon going crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, the biggest thing that Quinn and I wrangled was the association with, and because there were a mass of shootings in the period where we were actually needing to lock off the cuddle.
We'll give
it interesting Freudian slip. Yeah, that's exactly what we needed, but it did also capture the explosive potential, I guess, of the moment and the, you know, the impossibility of containing all the emotion around it. So we were quite keen on that it's not even a radical underbelly, or but it's a it's an expression of frustration,
yeah,
more than violence, and you know, nobody takes a gun into a school classroom without some context, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
there's
that's
always
come
a story.
From somewhere.
There's always a backstory to those. Yeah.
So, not that I'd even made that connection before, but obviously the riffing on Going Postal was just seemed right. And then more than yes or no, we tossed that around for a while too, because it's still a very binary debate. And, you know, the cover sadly has two sides. And I'm a non-binary person, so for me, if I can make it queer or messy in any way, I will always take that opportunity.
I made a suggestion too, like, you've already printed, of having an insert kind of pop-up section that really kind of incorporates all of us.
But well, maybe a little hat that you could put on. I have postcards that we should be able to keep an eye out for, that'll be out in cafes and all the normal venues. And we're really encouraging people to actually grab a postcard and send one of those off to a loved one or an ally or even a foe, somebody who you need to share a story with a year down the track. Because there was a lot of storytelling happening in that, time.
And that's the thing. Sorry, Alan.
Yeah, I was just saying, just reading through some of the extracts that I've had a chance to read, what sort of comes through to me was definitely a real underlying sense of fear. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that fear has actually gone away yet. I think people are still fearful, because even though we did have a positive outcome in the survey, the flip side to that is that we still have around about 40% of the population who voted no.
Yeah.
So I guess with that sense of underlying fear and anxiety that's there, I'm wondering, how did you go about getting consent for people to actually put their writings into this book, you know, given that sense of fear and potential ramifications that could come from that?
Again, that was actually a pretty easy part of the process compared with some of the other work that I've done, where you almost need to think ahead and future-proof publications on behalf of an author. But in this case, they'd already been published. So it was really giving it another space and adding a degree of longevity and weight to it that was what we were able to offer.
What I love about the collection, because I got the PDF, I can't wait. I'm going to actually go buy the hard copy because I love the cover.
Great present.
And it's going to be a great present. It's going to look gorgeous on my
coffee
table.
Just in time for Christmas.
Exactly. Totally in time for Christmas. And it should be on everyone's shelf. This is compulsory buy. Was looking through it, because some of these stories were on social media. And during the campaign, I remember people saying to me, Gina, don't read the comments. Don't read the comments. And comments are included with
some of those online
texts, which is what I love, because it does, and it doesn't just show the positive comments. Yeah, it shows the variety of comments. Yeah. I mean, they've been edited down, of course, but it does show, it kind of reminds you, it takes you back into that moment, which you forget when you're reading a paper text, that this is a fluid online live conversation. Was that always kind of, like, how did you filter the comments?
Really,
I mean, you had to read the comments.
Yeah, we wanted more, as much as possible of the zine kind of aesthetic that gave it that raw, multi-textured edge. How do we decide about the comments? I think we did skew positive. We certainly didn't, you know.
There wasn't some of the vile stuff that I know I reported
really
a lot
stuff
of,
that we didn't include. But we kept the more discursive ones that were around, you know, the original piece had been around a debate. So there was one around a UTAS discussion. Yes. And, in fact, they're having a launch down there now this incoming weeks. And then there was another, I think, that was a story of four different couples who were very excited to be getting married. And then there was another Chloe Sargent piece, which is actually explicitly asking for people how they felt. And so people had written in and given. So that was a good way of just getting the voices of the street, the kind of vox pops feel of it too.
That's what I kind of love when I was kind of flicking through this. So I was going, oh, I love this, because you're not only getting the voice of the writer, but you're also getting that that reaction that was happening at the time. And it kind of takes you back to that moment when we were trying not to read the comments.
I wonder in some ways whether it should come with a trigger warning in that regard.
I must admit, in my notes I've got trigger three times written down. Trigger. So many people were triggered by this, especially their own experiences of in their youth of being bullied. I know for me, definitely, it stirred up a lot of old memories. It was like the sediment at the, you know, at the bottom of a dam. Yeah. Someone had gone in and stirred it right up. And I tell you what, this is stuff that I never really wanted to reflect upon ever again.
We write about this, I think, somewhere, maybe it's in the conclusion, where we don't, the expectation is not that it heals all the scars. I think we actually need to acknowledge that we were scarred by the experience and, you know, that many of us actually did have those scars. And it's really advisable to, you know, read with a friend or and the good thing about a book is you can put it down when you've had enough, you know. And and so it's something to share and to do with other people. And I think, you know, having that diversity of voices within the covers, you can always flick to a little bit more positive something story or skew or something that's a bit lighter. There's some beautiful colour sections there from Judy.
There is. So, now, can I, just talking about triggers, if you do need to reach out, this coming anniversary is a trigger for a lot of us and has been, as you know, social media has been reminding us, as it likes to do. If you do need to reach out, there is Lifeline 13 11 14, QLife, of course, 1 800 184 527.
So in one of those stories, I was reading a couple of them today and I had a real moment that I wish I'd had 12 months ago of checking my straight privilege, because I was reading Nina Lord's story and she was talking about, who's 15, I think, being out for dinner with her two mums and overhearing someone talking about the postal survey. And I had this real moment of, like, I guess guilt maybe, that I thought, shit, I've not got no doubt that I was having those conversations out and about and I was, like, saying positive things and to be honest, people in my, I don't surround myself with people that don't, so it would have been a positive conversation. But I thought, God, even that, for someone to overhear me talking about their lives, I had this really, it was really quite confronting for me to read that.
And I think it goes back to what you were saying, Alan, before, that, you know, the whole experience gave us much more insight into what it feels to be physically visibly different. And so for people of colour, for people in a wheelchair, for, you know, there's many forms of visible difference that attract that gaze every day. But we were in that position, I guess, for at least that 3 months prior of just walking down the street and you know, meeting people's eyes and going, I want, you know, how are they going to vote? Yeah. Are they for me or against me? And they get that right to judge what the, you know... How does that happen?
I know. So I feel really bad now.
Beck, you've been a fabulous ally.
But it was a good learning experience for me, though, to think about what you do talk about and you don't know the impact that's having on people around you, even if you're not talking to them.
Yeah. So my daughter did a story that I actually write about in here. When she was 9, she's now 17, and she made a little digital story talking about what it was like to hear "That's So Gay." Which, you know, has kind of, hopefully,
still in the school language. It's not
as widely used as it used to be, but certainly the equivalent in that you don't know who it's impacting upon. And so the need to stand up and call it out is really important.
We are, again, just going to go cut to our sponsors, and you are here on Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number 1.
You are on Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. We are very excited. We are talking things going postal. Not a suggestion, but a fabulous anthology that is released here in Melbourne next. Very important clarification next week. And joining us in the studio is one of the curators, Son Vivian. So thank you for joining us again,
Son. No worries, thanks for
having. Now, when I was given the proof of this, the first thing I was, we spoke about this yesterday over the phone, but the first thing I did was skip, because I was looking for an article. I don't know about the rest of you, but some articles during the time I found it really hard to kind of put in words how I was feeling, and depending on what situation you were dealing with, sometimes a beautiful writer or storyteller would just articulate it. And there was an article for me that really stood out, and it was one of those that I saved, and I'm like, I'm going to come back to that, and I saved the article. And I actually ended up having to use it. I was having an argument with some bureaucrats about them being bureaucrats.
How fun.
And it was during the thick of the campaign. My partner's pregnant. We haven't told anyone really about the pregnancy. The bureaucrats got to do with the pregnancy. And I was ready to explode, and I had to stop, and I had to say to them, I can't have this conversation. And what I did was I sent this article. And sending that article helped articulate how I was feeling, the kind of threat that I was feeling and why I was reacting a certain way that they didn't understand. And it changed the conversation. And I was so thrilled to find the article. The article is actually titled Queer and Pregnant, It's a Tender Time for the Postal Vote by Amy Middleton. If you have the copy next week, go to page 178 and read that article. If I read it, because I started reading this and I was crying. It's amazing. I'm not a crier. Beck, you know me.
No.
I'm a tough little butch cookie.
You are, really.
But I am soft in the centre and I do cry sometimes. And I was reading and a lot of these stories were just bringing back that emotion. But there is some light in here. So can you give us a kind of idea of some of the stories we can expect to be reading? Because Amy's is one I recommend to everyone.
So I have this little piece here that we've selected earlier that's called Vote Yes to Pineapple on Pizza.
Hell
it's un-Australian not to. So this was authored by Rebecca Jensen and published in the Rabbit Poetry Journal LGBTQIA Plus issue. And it's actually a found poem which draws text from a lot of articles. You can read about that on page 156.
That's right.
But you'd like me to read it, yes?
I'd love you to read it.
Rebecca, if you're listening, my apologies for any stumbles or mispronunciation ahead of time. We have arrived at the shouting dog stage of the debate. This is precisely the sort of crazed response you'd expect from a dog called Mac. Sport is sport. Let the people go to the football and do who they want to do. Let the people eat their pineapple on pizza. It's un-Australian not to. I mean, for heaven's sake, homegrown heroes are delicate little flowers. The stupid clown in Canberra has a life. Long ambition to headbutt a blizzard of red herrings. Meanwhile, Pauline Hanson claimed, I'm not a sexual person, but now I've got trolls. It's quite strange. I'm really interested in what the mums of Australia have to say about the sordid sex lives of bugs and slugs. Women soften the message, but two mothers cannot fill the vacuum, and I'm tired of them pushing their bagless Dysons in our face. Make no mistake, it's in the bag. It's okay to say no to pineapple on pizza, but the average punter won't care they've been captured by the juicy fringe of the so-called tropical agenda, while a clutch of conservatives are pumping sewage into a debutante ball on the most sacred day of the year. Mate, it's tantamount to a frenzied zealot wearing Speedos. The love of pineapple is not equal. It's a sham. A pineapple is not a piña colada just because it wants to be. So if something like pineapple on pizza disturbs you or makes you fear this whole thing about something other than a good-humoured debate led with un-Australian calm and restraint, enlist now to conduct a million robocalls and urge somebody to please think of the children. It's all nonsense, of course. There are kids killing themselves in the suburbs while a bunch of straight white men sink tinnies on a Sunday night. But it's a long time, thank God, since gay people have been discriminated against.
Mm. Wow.
Thank you,
Rebecca.
That was
great.
Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible.
It's got all the laughs and
it's
all the tears.
And that's the thing, because I was kind of, after a few tears, and I was reflecting on some of the Rainbow Family stories, Nina's, Felicity's also got a story in there as well. I saw that heading and I was like, going here, going straight here.
It's actually really hilarious when you read all the articles it's come from too, because, you know, you'll remember some of them.
Yes, well, that's the thing. So that's one of the stories there. Is there a particular favourite that you really like?
Oh, crikey, your favourite.
Can you choose your favourite? Choosing your favourite child?
One of the children.
That's perfectly acceptable to have a favourite.
Yes, I won't be mentioning the child that's out there playing on a device at the moment. I guess the one that, you know, I'm most comfortable to speak of is something I write about myself, which is actually really my daughter's story. And yeah, she was 9 in a school needing to write a piece on rights and responsibilities and wrote this little piece about how gay people should be allowed to get married. It was not something we kind of had lots of discussion about, oddly enough. And it was, you know, this is 10 years ago, right? Yeah. So it gives me a sense of how long this debate's been going on.
Yeah.
But as she was doing this story for school, there was a big mock wedding staged in Adelaide and it was crashed by the street Christians who had some fantastic banners and very loud foghorns that they could yell at the children, you know, like actually go up and yell at the children and say, your mum is going to hell. And so we had video footage of all of this that was from the news, and we intercut this stuff in her story. So it's called Marriage Is So Gay. It's on Rainbow Family Tree. You can go and Google that. It's like 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
And at that stage, you know, even 10 years ago, that had massive impact. You know, I shared it on a few Facebook pages and it had 16,000 views just, you know, really quickly. So I guess I tell that story partly because, you know, she's now 17 and actually will be speaking at the launch at Hares and Hyenas in a couple of weeks. We're having a kid-themed Let the Kids Be Kids celebration on the Friday night, the 30th, which we're all very excited about.
It is. A special going postal family focus launch event, Hares and Hyenas Bookshop, Friday 30th November, 5:30 to 6 with a 6 p.m. start. Nina, who is one of the stories, Beck, you were talking, you were reflecting on that story. Yourself will be there. Rosie?
Rosie's my daughter.
Rosie's story. The DJ, though. Beck.
DJ Wonder Person, Maud Marlowe. Now, we have had Maud in here a couple of times. Maud is my idol. I think Maud is...
Favourite person. Forgive us, Felicity.
They're not. They're a kid.
Lucky to be double digits.
That's right. Yeah. But every time Maud has come in here, I've just been in awe of them. To be quite honest. Yep. So
they're amazing.
And Maud, remember Maud came and taught Dave and I about silent discos one day,
and how to dance at a silent disco.
So I have no doubt DJ Wonder Person Maud Marlowe will be.
I'll be following in their dance steps for sure.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's brilliant. And there's Rainbow Cupcakes.
What's not to be loved?
So happy days.
Yeah.
Totally.
But I love that. I love that because one of the things that particularly struck us on this show, being a family show, was the impact on kids of their families being up for debate. And so I think it's so wonderful to have the kids as part of a launch as well.
And if you get, of course, that we're riffing on ScoMo's Let the Kids Be Kids.
We're very aware that
my prediction, and I don't think it's unique, is that this is the next frontier is gender diversity in schools and in workplaces and across, you know, it's really a complex debate to have, and I think this one, you know, it was way more than yes or no. It was a complex debate, but I think a lot of the stuff that we saw that was really vitriolic and horrible was around, you know, this fear and protecting the innocent children.
Yes.
And you know, I think the response to that tweet, "Let the kids be kids," was fantastic. Yes, let's be kids. Let them.
And again, I'm always promoting it each week. You get onto Gender Whisperer's page. You can buy tote bags. You can buy T-shirts. You can buy hoodies. And all that money goes to support Why Gender, Parents of Gender Diverse Kids. There is one other organisation that it does support in raising funds by just buying a tote bag. But jump on there and buy
What does it say on the tote bag?
Gender Whisperer. We are taking back the word, the phrase.
Totally. Oh, we're going to own it. Yeah, great. Yeah, love it.
Don't you like to whisper about gender?
I don't whisper so much. I probably shout it.
So this book is being released next week.
So I should spruik a couple of the other events too. So the first one is on the eve of the anniversary of their vote, which is at the Wheeler Centre. Oh, thank you.
We have
a piece of paper. And we have numerous speakers that will be reading pieces there. It's 6:15 to 7:15. It's free, but bookings are essential. And then we have Letting Kids Be Kids, which is Friday the 30th at Hares and Hyenas. We've got a Sydney event, which is going to be at the Imperial Hotel on Sunday the 9th. We're very excited to have special DJ sets and lots of volunteer just excellence at that event. And then Quinn's going to be in conversation with Hannah McCann in Canberra on the 11th of November.
Who's Hannah? Pardon my ignorance, but who's Hannah McCann?
You have asked me a question I cannot answer.
Oh, my apologies. We'll just let that slip and keep moving on.
Quinn's the star of that show.
We'll cut it out of the podcast, Alan. No one will ever know.
I'm so sorry. This would be the last appearance on Family Matters for Alan from Outtakes.
Hannah McCann is a doctor, so they have earned their PhD or they're a medical provider. I'm not sure. But, yeah, Quinn could tell you more about that one. And then in Tasmania, we also have an event that's being run at UTAS by Louise Richardson self, who's also one of the contributors, and that is is on Thursday the 15th of November.
Dr. Hannah McCann is a lecturer in gender studies at the University of Melbourne.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much.
I mean, if it's not the same one, that's a weird coincidence.
Yeah, that is a good
quick draw McGraw over there.
Now, the copies are going to be retailing for $32.99. Bargain. Absolute bargain.
Christmas stocking.
Christmas. It's, you know, people less than 100 days.
And in all seriousness, you know, there's so many pieces about people having uncomfortable conversations with their parents. And I reckon regardless of how the parent voted, this is the right book for them, right? Because, you know, if it was yes, then this is a yes, thank you. And if it was no, then here you go. Have a look at the book.
This is how you unwrap it and you leave the cover.
Yeah, that's right. You
want to
unwrap. Where can I purchase it from? All good bookstores?
All good bookstores, yep.
And some bad ones, probably.
Probably. you can also go to the Lifted Brow website.
Yes.
And in fact, all of the events are on the Lifted Brow website as well.
Yeah. Have you shared, I know Felicity got a copy because she was kind of tweeting about it. Have you shared this with the other authors and what's been the feedback?
Yeah, all the authors should now have a copy in their hands and hopefully a few of the postcards too. I think, well, everybody, so, you know, there was a process. They did approve the PDFs. Yeah. Hopefully everybody's not spotted any like final errors. Yeah, lots of good feedback on the book. And I just, you know, my favourite thing is to sort of somehow hand it in a neutral way to people so that you can actually see then how they turn it or look at it and how they, you can watch on their faces the kind of expressions as they absorb the different messages. And it's a very material experience, again.
Well, Son, you actually had to explain it to me.
I saw the press release.
I was a little bit slow on the uptake. I really needed you to point it out.
I saw the press release and I just assumed there was two volumes.
Oh, right.
I assumed there was two volumes.
I
would have bought both volumes.
I thought there was like two separate covers. You can buy a pretty cover or you can buy a black cover.
I don't mean to brag, but like I got it straight away.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yes, and I'm sure there was enough material to actually make two volumes too. So there's 47 contributors in this.
Wow.
And, my apologies. If you're not included in it and you would have liked to have been included in it, keep an eye on the Lifted Brow website because we are hoping to build an online contributor space.
I'm actually surprised that you were able to cull it down and curate to this level.
There's not enough trees in Australia,
Absolutely. It was just reams and reams and reams of content during that process. It was hard not to read it. I know, Jenny, you were saying you were trying not to, but I was completely obsessed, even though I knew it was bad for me. I just felt compelled. I had to read it, as damaging as it was. I mean,
I did have to stop because I would spend my nights reading articles, reading stuff, reading comments. And I had to stop this. A friend who is a therapist said, no, Gina, don't go to bed like this. Yeah. I used to spend my night reporting really inappropriate stuff.
Oh, so have you heard this?
I kind of feel like a bad gay now because I didn't report anyone, Gina.
Oh,
and now you're making me feel bad for a second time.
But it was the worst thing I could be doing at the end of the night before you're about to go to sleep is just reading horrific vitriol. Yeah. And it was just... Anyway, I learnt my lesson.
This is a pick it up and put it down and, you know, turn the pages until you find something that resonates with you.
And if it scares you, put it in the freezer. That's what Joey from Friends used to do when he was scared of a book. Put it in the freezer. So that's an option.
Cool.
I like
Son, last question. What are you hoping people will get from this book?
That's a good one. I guess it's not closure so much as just maybe a bit of catharsis.
Yeah.
I think Felicity writes a beautiful piece. Yeah. The title of her piece is I Hope You're Worth It.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're all still wondering that. It's not like it's over, is it? You know, every day we open the socials and there's another horrifying thing happening, you know, in the gender diverse world beyond. And a lot of it is around gender, but it's also about race and class and violence and hostility and all
fear.
Of the things. Mm. Yeah.
Fear-mongering.
I think maybe if you can take away from it, you know, the importance of listening across difference and knowing when to shut down those, you know, to step away and step away from the harmful voices, but also when to actually make an effort to listen and share a story that might make a difference.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's amazing that you've written this book. This is great social history. I mean, I hope you're okay with me describing it that way.
It is.
Absolutely.
Because I think so often our history has never really been valued or appreciated. And I think it's wonderful that we've got people like you and Quinn who are writing this, bringing this content for us to own that history and to go back to it.
Because really we are all in it. That's the thing. If there's not a piece in there that you know, I think there's something in there that resonates with everybody. So that, mm-hmm. that sense of we were all part of this and, you know, we all got to this spot, but it's not over yet.
I can't tell you how it actually brought people closer together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially on the day on the 15th when the vote was announced, or when the survey was announced. I
was hanging on
believe,
to you and Bree from Chicks Talking Footy was in my other hand while Dave was trying to navigate ABC.
It's become one of those moments for queers. It's like, what were you doing when the person's set foot on the moon, you know?
Without a doubt, I'll never forget the 15th of November.
Yeah. And I was glad I was with you, Alan. And I,
me
you know,
too.
it was important to be there with each other. And it is.
It was such a strange day. Remember how we felt, you know, getting to the State Library, how we felt so
anxious.
We couldn't sleep the night before, the
we
anxiety.
We did breakfast radio that day.
It was just a real surreal experience. I don't know. We really didn't know what we were going to get that day. We were waiting for a bombshell and we got it.
Son, where were you?
I was actually at the State Library
too.
I was at a conference next door and we were in, you know, the funny green sticky
beautiful building. Yeah.
So we slipped out of the conference and came downstairs and stood among the crowd and felt all the feels.
So
Son, do you think that the survey and the activism that took place during the survey period has actually started to politicise the queer community more? Do you feel that we're
really
more politically involved?
I mean,
politically
this is
involved?
My space. I work in social media and online activism, right? So it's not like it's come out of nowhere. I think the storytelling aspect of, you know, what that's what I would call everyday activism. So it might not be activism with a capital A, but just the
accidental
sense of,
kind of almost,
being able to do the storytelling that actually might make a difference, because I think that was the stuff that actually changed the shape of the campaign. And perhaps it's more unique in this kind of space than in more politicised spaces like detention, many other examples. The capacity for us all to get what it means to be joined to another person by family or not joined to them, to be disowned by them.
Yeah.
You know, that resonates really widely. And so maybe it was that potential. And people used social media. You're unlikely to get me to commit one way or the other on the good or the bad of social media. Yeah. I'm very much a non-binary fence sitter.
Love it.
Look, we've loved having you here. I'm so glad this book is available for us. I think this is, you know, like we said at the top of the show, there were many voices that spoke for us, but that didn't speak for all of us during their campaign. We saw that, and that's why, you know, community spaces like Joy Community Pieces, books like this and the forums and pulling this together, it's so important that we support all of our voices, not just some of them. And so I'm very thankful this book is available. I'm going to try not to get emotional because I'm already thinking about the stories.
I
was
ready.
And, you know, the first thing for this is like, Gina, self-care, don't forget. And I'm like, yes, I know, just self-care. But thank you so much. Thank you to you and Quinn, because it would have been heartbreaking to have to go back there.
But it was also a joy.
It would have been a joy.
And a massive privilege, you know.
And
how lucky are we?
Last question, do you have pineapple on your pizza?
I have to admit that I put it on my daughter's. I pick it off mine and put it on my daughter's.
Son, I'm with you.
I love pineapple on pizza.
Everyone,
I will order it as it is.
I'm a pineapple ally.
I'm a pineapple aficionado. Is that the word? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Going Postal, it comes out next week, November 15, on the first anniversary of the Yes Vote. It should be available from all good booksellers, you know, Hares and Hyenas. We plug.
Yeah.
Get to those events, especially the family event, and support the speakers. Support Maud on the decks. Well, you are on Family Matters here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.